Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Less Annoying CRM is a user-friendly customer relationship management software. The sales staff at 590 The Fan has been using it for 2 years now, and the transition seamless. The setup only took a few minutes, and the sales staff caught on very quickly, unlike other CRM software. Less Annoying CRM has an outstanding support team and has walked us through any situation that arose. To contact Less Annoying CRM and to receive an extended 60-day free trial, go to insidestl.com/CRM. This also includes free training and setup assistance from one of their CRM coaches.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, Plowhawk, you've gone and done it. You're playing the jam. Doug, listen to Johnny Gill blow.
I've always been a Johnny Gill fan, haven't you?
Oh, sure.
You like New Edition better with Johnny Gill or Bobby Brown?
I think JG.
Really?
I don't know when they were more successful. I guess with Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think you got to say with Bobby Brown. Maybe some people may think their work was better with Johnny, but I think the success was better.
That's interesting because I feel like Martin's been compared to Bobby Brown and Doug has been compared to Johnny Gill. That's been said before. Who wrote that? Dan Caesar wrote that.
Yeah.
About the raucous times in what was a wild year in St. Louis sports radio.
The comparison
7 years in a row. I can't get as high as Ralph.
No.
I can't.
Only Plowsy can.
Right.
Do you think maybe we should start our own barbershop quartet?
I'd like that. Watch this. Hello.
Well, there aren't enough barbershop quartets, are there?
No.
You don't see them as much.
No.
You don't see them as much.
No. The STL Today commenters would love to see them back. A lot of other things. Hey, speaking of STL Today, here's Derek Gould. Hello, Derek.
Hello, Gouldsy.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Derek Gould brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. What was the atmosphere slash spoken words slash unspoken words like at the Great American Ballpark following that one last night?
Last night, I would say there was a minimal of spoken words, and there was a minimal of players interested in speaking words, and there was maximal, I'm struggling with a way to describe it in the same way last night on deadline, to be honest, because you know, there's a difference between like frustration, and there's a difference between just getting hammered, like they did in the Scooter Jeanette show the other night, and then there's this period where there's, for lack of a better word, kind of a seething, and seething is either followed by improvement or resignation, meaning resignation to the team that you are. Or to what, you know, just what's conspiring against you and what you don't have. I think they're in the seething phase.
Seething.
Everybody's,
I think that's a good word for
I
it, right?
I do. Yeah.
No, and I like your you know, where do you go from that seething phase? Do you find a way to turn it around and get yourself kind of at least somewhat back on track, or are we going to just kind of continue a slide and it's going to be an ugly summer?
Right. Yeah, and then you resign to who you are and you don't see much else. You just see a lot of moving the deck chairs.
What did Lance Lynn have to say about being taken out after five innings?
Lance Lynn would like to pitch another inning or two. Lance Lynn felt pretty good about his stuff. Lance Lynn always feels pretty good about his stuff, and he was happy to tell us how, until he throws the last pitch of a game, he is intent on finishing games and doesn't like to come out early. Lance Lynn was not quite as candid with us as he was in the dugout, but whether that meant that he had time to gather himself or whether that's what he said for public consumption, it was clear through both that he wanted a chance to hold the lead. That, you know, I'm not quite sure why it wasn't enough. I guess all these lost leads, yesterday was the 14th, are starting to stack up. Certainly, this is a team that doesn't feel like it can turn down a run or a chance to take off a run at any point in time. So many of the decisions here recently have been to help the offense, to find something from the offense, to do something for the offense, and then at all costs to avoid the bullpen. And last night they had to make a choice, and they sided with the bullpen and getting more offense, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, the move worked in the short term. Fowler stepped up and drove in a run. But then to turn it over to a bullpen that's already struggling, it made me think that maybe Lynn was hurt or something must have been going on.
Well, the confusing part about it is, did he hurt himself on that tumble on Votto's play? Did he have the blister popping up? I mean, all those things were like, wait a minute, this is really early. I mean, 78 pitches, you know, I mean, there are times where it's like, oh, Lynn can throw 78 pitches in an inning and still be okay. I exaggerate, but, you know, he's a guy who is a high pitch count guy. He's coming off, 128 pitch game. So, I mean, he goes out there, chucks fastballs, works innings, and holds leads. And, you know, this was a thing that he wanted to do yesterday, obviously. And I think all things being equal, maybe if the Cardinals haven't had the past 5 days that they've had, they let him. But they saw a chance to add two runs. But again, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they turned to a guy who 1 out of 5 times is going to get a hit. Whereas what are your chances of getting a scoreless inning from Lance Lynn? I it's better than 1 out of 5, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and getting 4 innings, 12 outs from a bullpen, it also is, you know, the chances of that are fewer than 1 out of 5. So, I mean, you're compounding your probabilities in the wrong direction at that point.
They moved Matt Carpenter back to leadoff with Fowler taking the night off. Well, Carpenter's been a terrific leadoff hitter in years past. You think they might keep him there for a while?
I haven't gotten that indication. You know, they've been tinkering around with that idea. They haven't taken it to Fowler yet, though they've talked publicly about it, so he has to have heard it. That, you know, they've given it some thought to flipping the two. They've given it some thought to moving Fowler lower in the lineup, just to see if they can catch fire in some way. You know, Matheny has been rather candid about how, you know, Carpenter is a guy who has shown a willingness to move around in the lineup just as he has to move around in the field. Whereas some guys, just to fix their identity to where they hit and don't have the same approach or don't have the same feel elsewhere in the lineup. And there have been times where they've talked about how, they'd like to keep Yadi, for example, in the 5th or 6th or 7th spot, that area, as opposed to moving him up to the 2nd spot. At times, where he's batting the first inning. Whereas, and then on the other side was like a guy like Albert, who really wanted to hit in the first inning. Really felt like that was something that got him locked in and triggered. He just wanted to hit in the first inning. And a few other guys have expressed that to me, too. I'm not just picking the extreme, I guess I'm just picking the outlier to explain that. So they're going to have that conversation with Fowler on whether or not he just identifies with his approach and sort of hit what he's best at leadoff, or if he's willing to get a look from another spot in the lineup.
Derek Gould with us, brought to you by GFI Digital. He's with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, and Jay Randolph Jr. with you here on 590 The Fan KFNS. We had Rick Hummel on yesterday, Derek, and asked him if the Cardinals were to get in a position where they were sellers, not saying that they are, got to be hypersensitive to the rogue B-fib who might have stumbled upon this show and somebody's in a commercial break. But if they were to become sellers, who would be the desirable commodities to other teams in the realistic capacity of actual players that the Cardinals would and could trade? And he mentioned Lance Lynn being at the top of the list, considering his contract status. He said Matt Carpenter, and then Tommy Pham were the three that he named. What do you think?
I mean, I see where he's coming from with Lance Lynn. That makes a lot of sense. To me, the most desirable player, just from talking to other teams, but also getting a read on the market for what the Cardinals could get a return on him, is Trevor Rosenthal. He's a guy that some teams see as a potential closer for them or part of a tandem closer back in a game. You look at what Washington is trying to pull off and certainly what they need. And also he's got another year of control. So you're talking about the Cardinals, if he, I mean, obviously he gave up the home run last night, and his lack of back-to-back appearances is going to be something that teams wonder about or ask about. But if he can have a strong next 4 or 5 weeks here, then you're talking about, you know, look at what closers got last year, right? I mean, the Yankees overhauled their farm system for closers, one of whom was under control, which was Andrew Miller. And, you know, there's still a sense that maybe that's a role that that Trevor could fill in. There's going to be a lot of starters available this trade deadline. And while that means you'll probably find a taker for him, that also means that taker can go elsewhere for a better price if you ask too much. That isn't going to be the case with all-star, lockdown, 40-save, 100-mile-an-hour closers. And increasingly with October becoming a bullpen game, you know, starting, you know, well, I mean, starting with the Yankees when they shortened games with that guy named Mariano Rivera, and even when he was a setup guy and Wetland was closing and they had Mendoza in kind of a flex role when you think back, what, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly heightened by the 2011 Cardinals. So as teams look to October, you know, they're not going to say, well, you know what we really need? We really need that fifth starter for that National League Division Series. They're probably going to say, you know what we really need? We need, you know, somebody with a blowtorch coming out of the bullpen.
How hesitant do you think the organization, and I'm talking about going all the way to the top with Bill DeWitt Jr. through John Mozeliak and then on down to Matheny and the minor league system, how comfortable would they be in that role of sellers? I don't recall. I was mentioning
they've never been in it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I was saying to Doug and Jay yesterday, I said they were kind of in a weird spot in 2001 when they were kind of out of it, and then they made a charge, but they did trade away a left-hander reliever in Jason Christensen, and that's the last time I can really remember them being in, you know, a seller mode, and that was kind of half seller mode. And of course, they wound up being a damn good team in the final 2 months, in part because of getting Woody Williams for Ray Lankford. So they haven't been in that spot. This group certainly hasn't. How comfortable would they be in doing that? And how do you think, also, I realize it's a substantial follow up question, but how do you think the fan base would react to something like that?
Well, I think those two are related, right? I mean, Bill DeWitt told me that his model, what he wants from his team, is 90 wins and $3.4 million through the gate. And he sees those two things as linked. Now, that doesn't mean a minimum of 90 wins, because he understands that. And he was careful to point this out to me. He said, look, 90 wins, that could mean 88 1 year, 87 1 year. But it also could mean 100, which they've also done, to balance that out. And you look over the time that they, you know, that he's owned the team, and that certainly the Mozeliak has been in charge of the team, they're above 90 in their average, and they got a couple hundred wins seasons in there. And really, since the Y2K bug that didn't happen, they've got one losing season. So I think, you know, he sees those two things as linked. Now, you know, do they limp toward 90? Do they say, well, this is one of those 80 years, and can they get there? You know, I don't know, because you're right. They just haven't been in that spot before. but they do see maintaining a competitive contending team as essential to the fans they want to get through the gate in Busch late in the season. And last year's no shows and last year's empty ballpark in that last homestand stood out to management, stood out to ownership, and stood out to players. It was foreign to them. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think we have an answer for that. I think one, if there is one part that we do know, Tim, about it, is that they are confident and comfortable in acquiring minor league players. And they would at least be aware, they wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be uncomfortable to start moving major league spots from minor league spots just because they feel like, all right, they got a good sense of where their minor league system is, what kind of talent they can get to the majors, and who they could grab from another team and maybe maximize through their own development.
Derek, I'm not asking this, but David Schoenfield asked this.
ESPN?
Yeah. Is there going to be a Mike Matheny watch in St. Louis? He gives all the stats, the worst of which may be now 14 losses in games. The Cardinals led by at least 2 runs. No other team has more than 10. I don't know that we're necessarily there, but he's posing the question. So I'll ask you, do you think there is a potential for a Mike Matheny watch?
Well, I mean, isn't that the pastime of the entire Twitter nation?
Yeah.
I mean, I have not gone a day since 2014 when Michael Wacha threw a pitch to Travis Ishikawa without being asked about him and his job security. So, you know, when there's articles like that and everything, there's a lot of short-term memory that goes on, as far as, questions about his job security, questions about, where he was, where he fits in, or is there going to be a watch, or, I'll get 3 questions today. Is his seat getting hotter? Whatever the heck that means. I don't know. What do people want me to say? Yes. That's been the case since 2014. However, he has a really substantial contract to pad his tush, all right? He's sitting on a cushion of a 3-year extension that the owners gave him, that ownership gave him. So, he's got a contract that is really only eclipsed by Stephen Piscotty, Dexter Fowler, and Carlos Martinez. What other manager has that? So he's got kind of a Socha type situation here. And I don't know if, how the Cardinals, what does that lead? I mean, we can watch all we want, but, ownership is already done.
Yep.
And he does have the built-in equity of having gone to the NLCS 3 years in a row, right? And then last year misses out by the playoffs by one game.
No, they've gone backwards, man. This is the thing that I've pointed out, much to the front office's chagrin, and Mussini doesn't like it when I point it out, but I at least had a player come to me and say, look, we all see the same trend that you do. They went World Series 2013, NLCS 2014, NLDS 2015, out of the playoffs 2016. Each of those 3 times in the playoffs ended with a 3-game losing streak. So it wasn't just that they were excused from the playoffs. It was that they lost the game and couldn't put it back together in the playoffs. Whether that was a stopper or a decision or a bullpen or an offense or whatever, they lost 3 in a row to be excused from the playoffs each time.
Well, they did.
Last year, they finished with a 3-game winning streak, but you know what? They weren't in the playoffs. So they've gone backwards.
They have, but there's probably 25 other clubs in baseball that would love to have had that history over the last 4 or 5 years.
But we're not one of those clubs.
You're not going to go to the World Series every year. Every time you go to the World Series, if you don't make it back, I don't think you can say, well, you're going backwards. The manager's in trouble.
Better get into the playoffs, man.
Well, he has every year but one, and that 1 year he missed by a game.
And that 1 year was the tail end of a culmination where they had gone backwards.
Well, okay. I would just say once you've gone to the World Series, there's nowhere to go but backwards.
Well, you could go back. I've seen teams do that.
You could. There are some who go to the World Series every year, but not many.
No, there are some that go back to the World Series. You know, I mean, the 04 team went back to the World Series in 06, I recall. The 2011 team went back to the World Series in 2013. The playoffs are a jumble. They're a crapshoot. They're random. They're a Madison Bumgarner, Jeff Weaver, Scott Spezio triple craziness from a team getting hot. But the idea is to get there. The idea is to always get there. And the idea is to, when you get there, not have familiar trends pop up and have, different results or have a reason why you lost. You know, not have some really striking similarities as to how you're out.
I would just say that if the World Series is a criteria, you're going to be firing managers every year. Every team in the league is going to be firing managers.
Wasn't.
Well, even the playoffs, you're going to be firing most of the managers in the league. Because most teams teams don't make it.
Know,
and in his defense, I would say last night he brings in a pitcher that they just spent millions on in Brett Cecil, and he can't get through an inning without giving up four runs. The team signed Dexter.
He avoided Saturday.
The team gave Dexter Fowler $80 million to come here. He's hitting .226. Those aren't Matheny problems.
I agree.
So he's not the only one that would share in any blame if there's blame to be thrown around.
I wholeheartedly agree. Nor would I ever suggest that. I mean, I think players deserve a lot of this.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. I don't see why they get to skate. It's their performance.
Speaking of players, Derek, I asked you at the outset of our interview here, what it was like in the Great American Ballpark following the game last night, and you made reference to something that. When I used to be down there for 5 years at all the home games anyway, or a lot of the home games, what it was like after a loss, especially when you're in the midst of something like this, that players would make themselves sparse and hide out and whatever. And that's, standard throughout baseball. It's not, exclusive to the Cardinals. But when they aren't in hideout mode and you are having conversations, what kind of vibe are they conveying to you regarding the state of the union?
It's almost cliche, but there's a lot of frustration, a lot of questions, guys I spoke to yesterday were actually really self-reflective on it. There's been only a few guys that haven't acknowledged their role in it. A few guys only speak in generalities and seem really eager to get the conversation over. Which is fine. I mean, maybe that's just me. Doug likes to get our conversations over too, right?
No, I don't. I like debating.
I think there's some players that's just personality. But the ones who, for example, like I talked to Adam Wainwright the other night, and I asked him, I'm like, I don't remember losing streaks like this. I said, I don't remember losing streaks. Obviously, the 06 team had 2 7-game losing streaks, if I remember correctly, and they're the first team to win the World Series to have done that. And so this one hasn't reached that. But, I don't remember losing streaks where it was the same mistakes over and over and over again, the same recipe over and over and over again. I called it the rope-a-dope in the paper the other day where, the Cardinals get out to an early lead and the other team just has to wait for them to make a mistake. What team goes into a game now against the Cardinals, falls behind in the first run and goes, that's all right, we can come back later. It's the opposite of what having a good closer does, where a team arrives at the ballpark and goes, all right, well, we got 6 innings to score today, guys. Now figure this out.
Right. Yeah.
Opponents say, all right, well, we got plenty of time to score against this group. And I've never seen that before. I asked Wainwright about that. I'm like, this is an organization. Actually, I asked Matheny this. I asked anybody. I'm like, this is an organization that course corrects usually pretty quickly and isn't. And you want to see the mood and, like you're asking, the vibe. That's the one that bothers them most.
Is that it hasn't been corrected.
It's that they don't know how.
Ah.
So what do you expect to happen in the short term here over the next week or two if they continue this tailspin?
More of what we've seen with, you know, with the players coming back, specifically Cole Long, you know, that will be kind of a fine tune, but I expect more churn of the roster, you know, gaining in significance as they go along here.
Yeah. Well, I know the fan base would probably love to see a blockbuster trade, and we've talked about that in the past, but that's it's a lot easier to talk about it than actually pull one off.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It takes two to tango. The Cardinals are a respected organization, but even they have not yet figured out how to impose their will on an opponent to trade good players to them.
Yeah. Well, so is the season?
I didn't know if you were done. I didn't know. I feel
lost.
Bad because Jay. Usually, there's so many things that make me great. I hope that doesn't come off the wrong way.
Absolutely not.
Thank you. There's so many things that make me great. But one of them is the ability to go, okay, everybody's done. God bless. We'll wrap it up, and then I'm going to get back into country club talk with Jay.
Sure, right.
but I thought Doug, it was a bad read. I moved in. He had the nuts. I shouldn't have moved in. No. And that's it. No. That's it. I made a bad play. I'm still the best, though.
Now ask a question, Doug.
I'm kind of out of questions. There's not much more to say about the team. There's just
how about those Royals against the Astros?
You don't know what they can do to fix it. It feels like the season is unraveling right now, and they're just kind of in that period of time where you just kind of don't know what to think.
No.
Yes.
All right. Okay. That was just my opinion.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be a very interesting 2 weeks. Or the next 7 weeks.
I'm fascinated by because as you were saying, Derek, this group, Bill DeWitt, John Mozeliak, Mike Matheny, they have not been in the position of selling, and they may be.
Yeah.
In that position. Derek Gould, always a good conversation. I enjoy it. Thank you so much, Derek. We appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, I mean, at least they have the draft to look forward to next week, right?
Oh, yeah. And Konzo's got a good recruiting class.
Yeah.
Thank you, Derek.
All right, guys.
Peace.
All right, thank
Derek
you,
Gould with us, brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. It is the 8 o'clock hour presented by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine or Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or online at goldsmithmcp.com. You can respond. I see people are actually calling in. That's very old school sports talk radio, but I like it.
Huh.
Calling in with thoughts on what Derek Gould had to say. Of course, most people text in. We take both. I'll tell you what. We actually take three things. We'll take three things. Doug, they call that an airtight. And it's the morning after at InsideSTL.com. It's phone. It's text. It's email. A lot of platforms we like to diversify.
Okay, don't say platforms.
I thought it worked. And right. Cletus just let me know he's playing Normandy today.
Perfect. Look forward to seeing him.
He doesn't miss a tea time, you said.
Cletus is a made man at the Rock. Cletus.
Here is Ben, who would like to respond to the Derek Gould interview on the appliances kind of phone lines. Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, don't you think Derek's talking out of both sides of his mouth a little bit there?
In what capacity, Ben?
The capacity is he wants to go on this big, the Cardinals are going backward, they were in the World Series, then they're in the NLCS, NLDS, missed the playoffs. But what? Yeah, the goal is to get to the playoffs. Yes, I understand the Cardinals are expected to get to the playoffs, but they're in the playoffs every year. I mean, Doug's right. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to, and then when questioned about it, you know, it just seems that he backtracked real quick as soon as Doug commented. Every team would love to be in that position.
But as far as talking out of both sides of his mouth, in what way do you mean? Like he's pointing out the regression?
He's pointing out the regression
okay.
in the playoffs. And then when Doug confronted him saying, we're still making the playoffs, he's like, yeah, that's great. You know that should be the. I've heard him say it many times. That's the goal of this franchise, and to come up with that stat, I think just a little bit silly.
I understand what you're saying, and I see both sides. I understand what Doug's saying, but I think as I posed the question to him, it was a national writer saying, is the Matheny watch on? And that's why I wanted to get it from Derek's perspective. Yeah. You know, I think that we're a little slow, and I'll admit myself. I mean, I like the man, and I gave the man maybe a more of a benefit of the doubt with some of his moves the last couple of years. I just wonder the future of this team, and if you're going to make a decision to where, as Derek said, you might start looking to move some people to get some minor league prospects, you know, is this a 2 or 3 year process to getting back to where this team once was? So I see both sides. It's a tough one.
One more thing. I'm sorry, Jay, to cut you off.
No.
The big thing is on the when he was talking about the Twitter.
Yep.
Saying what, you know, when's the last time I haven't heard, you know, Waka bring up whatever the guy's name.
The wonderful Travis, you know, Ishikawa.
Right. Ishikawa.
Easy.
Turn into Beavis.
I had a little Trevor, but I'm okay.
All right.
He's like, you know, on Twitter, constantly hearing that, but then he throws out that type of thing. You know, saying the exact same thing that people are pounding on Matheny. Well, now he's pounding on Matheny because of that stat. So
right.
He's saying the exact same thing he's arguing that he's complaining about.
Gotcha.
You know, people doing ever since, you know, Matheny's, you know, I get it. I think screwed up that time too, but I think a lot of it's the players. So, but, you know, it's hard to talk out of both sides of your mouth. I have trouble with it when I'm going down on Doug.
And put him down!
Wow.
Put him down!
Went a long way to get to the end.
Ben just got himself suspended.
That's another one.
A lot of people will bluff on the flop, but they're not willing to fire the bullet on the turn and then the river, and Ben was.
I got to commend him on that. That was
good call going.
That was good work.
He kind of unraveled when he said Ishikawa.
I picked up a tell.
Yeah.
It was Teddy KGB with the Oreo when he went into Beavis mode on Ishikawa.
Right.
I thought we might, because I have to tell you, I was thinking to myself, why the hell is this guy listening to our show? He can't possibly really enjoy what we do.
No.
And how did he find it, and why is he really calling in, especially since it sounded like he was in his 20s? And sure enough, my faith in the audience was restored. Guys, ask Ben where he lives. I guarantee it's past 270. That's from Butch McGuire. Now, what does that mean? There's so many generalities going on today, and I don't understand any of them. Is living past 270 a bad thing?
You live west of 270, and you fight that Manchester traffic all the time.
It's bad.
It'll drive you nuts.
Plowsy and I know
Plowboys,
about that.
Plowboys and Baldwin.
Yep. Yeah. How much longer are you in the B-Win?
I'm in the hood for 2 more weeks.
All right.
Like a gypsy.
We got to have a session.
I'm hollering at Penske Truck, you know, the great people at Penske.
Don't say holler at them. You're going to call them. You're
hooking me up with another rental truck they did previously a few months back to help me move to Baldwin. So
it doesn't make moving cool if you say I'm hollering at the moving company.
No, it makes it cool because Penske is cool.
That's right.
Way to go.
That Four Seasons Penske truck rental and the cats on the
road.
Don't
ruin a little live spot.
Okay, I didn't realize it.
Great call, dildo. Kill yourself. That's from Dr. Joseph Gerbils. Doug, you call into the show.
You get killed. That's why no one calls.
That's why no one calls.
I'd love to have the call. I would. Dare do it.
I do. I enjoy it. I think I've noticed. What do you think on this? What do you think about this? I'll get back into country clubs and Cardinals, because that's really what it used to be about, stock tips and swinging. Now we're on country clubs and Cardinals. That's the format. But I think when I'm listening to Stern, Doug, did you hear the interview with the chain smokers?
No,
I don't. I'm not really a big chain smokers guy.
No.
But the interview was so damn good, it made me interested in an hour-long conversation with guys who are essentially DJs. You know what I mean?
Okay, I don't know what you mean.
It's all about the DJs now.
But yeah. I think I've noticed this, and I wonder about it. So what I think they do on that show is, and maybe some people will go, well, that's obvious, is that he talks about topics, but he acts like, and perhaps the producers have people call in and then bring it up, and then he can get into the topic without acting like he's bringing it up himself. Iggy, you're shaking your head and you agree, and you're a seasoned producer in the industry, so you would know.
Well, that's a trick that a lot of people use.
Really, is that right?
Even host, when they don't want to ask a question, they'll say, I had somebody ask me the other day, and I said,
"No, I know that one. I know
and
that
have
one."
Callers planted this to ask.
Oh, really?
Questions, and then
wow.
You
now you're taking a look.
Do it,
really?
Then you get the answer you were looking for.
I see. Interesting. So you think that goes on? Well, I guess you know it goes on. You're
I think
saying.
So.
Really?
I would think in Stern's case, though, what does he care if they don't?
I know.
What he says?
But I notice it because usually these days I'm only really listening to the interviews. Doug, there was an interview with the Chainsmokers, and here's a couple guys who are just DJs,
yeah.
And he made it fascinating.
Okay.
That's what I was listening to this morning on my way out to St. Chuck.
Wonderful.
But I was podcasting like the Dickens, the show, and on Monday's show, they were just kind of wandering around. And I hate radio shows that seem like they just kind of wander and don't have a point. You know?
I understand exactly.
We don't know anything about that.
So they were just kind of wandering around at the outset.
Right.
And then he goes to the phone lines for no particular reason. And it was Adam, not our friend from Wentzville, just a different gentleman, and said, yeah, what do you think of what happened with Kathy Griffin and with Bill Maher? And so then he was able to go into this whole thing. Now, he could have done it on his own.
Yeah.
But like I said regarding Bill Maher and that topic when we were talking about political correctness with Michael Hill from Fox Sports 1 and him calling out Jason Whitlock and both being employees of Fox Sports 1, that we were, I was anyway, consciously, I would have loved to have talked about it. I just felt like if I talked about it, there's no upside because something that could be a genuine sentiment with absolutely no root in bigotry could be construed inappropriately, passed around social media, and the next thing we know, we have a Twitter pitchfork mafia demanding somebody resign or get fired or something along those lines. So that's why I didn't discuss it on Monday and really didn't discuss it until Michael Hill was on with us on Tuesday, and I wasn't even planning on discussing it then. So I was wondering if that was like a strategy that was used or is used by Stern in particular, but perhaps as you're saying, other radio hosts. I don't know.
I don't know. In that case, it would make a difference because if you don't want to talk about it, and a caller calls in and says, the caller wants to, I'll talk about it. You mean you really don't want to talk about it, no matter whether if a caller brings it up. Like, you don't really want to talk about Kathy Griffin. You're not going to talk about it just because a caller said, will you talk about Kathy Griffin?
But if you do want to talk about it, but you don't want it to come off to the audience that you're bringing it up,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. Now, again, you guys were saying, one of you were saying, why would he really care at this point in his career? He's made, $1 billion or whatever. Doesn't need to. But I'm just wondering if that's a strategy. It's just a brief aside. Jennings, get back to this Greenbrier thing on Friday night.
Yeah, I just was told back in the 90s, early 90s, when I first got into this business
community,
that maybe sometimes that the group of couples that got together on Friday evening at Greenbrier, and I can understand you play nine holes,
you feel randy,
you get a
tough
couple
course.
Of booze in you, and you slap somebody on the ass, and next thing you know, here
right,
we go,
right,
just like that.
That was my understanding. Never got invited to the event, but was willing.
Was
to host.
Was foot play as popular in the 90s?
No,
it's been a recent phenomenon.
It was.
I feel like that's going on with ass play too. I don't think that was really going on as much in like the 80s and 90s.
No,
I wonder what that's about.
There was a revolution
maybe Eastern Michigan can dig into that.
Right after World War II, there was a little bit of a push for the feet, and then it kind of waned.
I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, well, Eastern Michigan. And then in the mid-60s, with the Free Love and Beach Blanket Bingo and people like Annette Funicello, who dug here from
Maryland. Annette Funicello, yeah.
It kind of rose back to prominence, and then a lull, and really it's taken a while to get to where it is now. That would have been an early cuck situation.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that some of these folks at Greenbrier
have now
channeled Horace Greeley and moved west to Winghaven, where they spread white rocks and put pineapples on their front porch?
The natural progression, as you have seen as a child of this town, has been to move west.
Yeah.
And I have not played Greenbrier in quite a while.
There's a lot of blind shots there.
There are. There's some interesting holes, so you got to know where
now,
you're going.
Now, when you say there's some interesting holes, I feel like another way.
I'm talking about the par three. The par three.
Doug,
16,
what par three?
16, the par three.
I don't know what hole number it is.
Yeah.
I've played there like twice in my life.
Any play there on a Friday night ever?
I hit a lot of shots where I don't know where it's going. There's a hill up there, and I don't know where to hit it.
Now, again, I cannot validate what I was told. I'm just relaying what I was told.
Maybe I can be the cut correspondent.
Well, that's what your role is.
I was actually out at Greenbrier getting some Emo's pizza. And,
sure. At the club?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They set up an Emo's franchise at Greenbrier?
No, I think...
Are these clubs doing this stuff?
No.
I think it's Emo Pizza. It's either that or Tony's. One of the two. And so they had a pizza maker that would, like, reheat Emo Pizza. So I went up there. You know, they have Mambas as well, one of my favorite candies.
Sure.
So one of the kind of just kicked it at the clubhouse, right. Kind of eating a little snack.
Yep.
And I did see two elderly couples.
Yep.
And it kind of looked like that was a potential swinging scenario. They all drove
just because they were all there dining together? Is that all it takes?
No. Well, they ended up getting in the same... They got in the same car together.
Oh,
wow. Now, Doug, that does it.
You put four people in the same car. You know there's some
to me, like, that means they met at their house.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're going back to the house.
Yeah, they had like a pre-party.
Right.
And now it's the post-shower after a nice round... cut, swinging, get together.
What makes all the sense in the world now?
So you think they just bypass the locker room for a shower and they just go back and potentially, if the shower's big enough, they all join in.
Well, what was weird was I thought the initial couples were the actual couples, but this guy was helping out the other girl with her scorecard in kind of a... you know, a cuck situation. And so I thought that was that couple.
I mean, I've seen Bones do that with Mickelson. Right. I never even think.
But after they got their scorecards all situated, the guy went to the other girl, held her hand, and they walked toward the car. So to me, they looked very friendly.
Right.
To a point where it could have been
something special. I think you've reached the right conclusion. Yeah.
Yep. Tim, you know as well as I do that a producer of electronic music is more than a DJ. Just like Beethoven was more than the conductor.
You just got back from Vegas. I was in Vegas before. It's all. If you're not a DJ, you're nothing. If you don't have a tattoo and you're not a DJ, don't go. You don't need to go to Vegas.
We actually went to a show. Now people always go, what shows do you go to when you go? I don't know if I've ever been. I've actually seen O one time.
Yep.
In 2001.
You never did the Beatles Love?
It's not my thing.
I got you.
You know, but as always, to each their own. In this case, Band of Horrors was playing at Cosmopolitan. We like Band of Horrors is playing in a couple of different places along the industrial road.
All right.
But this is Band of Horses.
Horses, Doug.
Horses.
Oh, that's different.
And so we went over there. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and we're in the Cosmopolitan's theater. I'm going, God, I bet this is so rare to actually have, like, essentially a rock band playing in Las Vegas because of what you just said, which is everything is DJ-oriented. But God bless them. I'm not mocking it at all.
Now,
I want to be clear.
Is Calvin Harris a DJ or is he a singer?
He's a songwriter. And a DJ.
Right.
Doug, who was he with? Taylor Swift? Was that right? Was he Taylor Swift? Was he with Rihanna as well?
I think he was with Swifty and Rianzi.
Rianzi. Doug here is Fungo. You know him as a St. Gabriel basketball official.
Right, he fixes games there.
And, of course, the St. Gabriel school picnic is coming up here. I see Jim Edmonds is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. I don't know if we're talking Cardinals, country clubs, or St. Gabriel school picnic. But here is Fungo.
Hey, Timmy. How you doing?
What's going on, Fungo?
Oh, not much. Your buddy told me I should be calling this week.
Doug, who's...
I guess it's to help to promote the wonderful school picnic in front of the McCurran household there.
We're going to promote a grade school picnic?
It's a big event.
Thank you, Jay.
Right. It is the event. That's right. I mean, people like, you know, who wants to go to places like Captain Laboure and, you know...
Okay, knock it off, Fungo.
St. Kitty's, Doug.
Knock it off, Funzie. So this is the event where the officials stand around and decide who's going to win the tournament next year.
We don't do that. We try to rip people off in the over and under booth.
Oh, that's
Doug. There'll be some gambling and drinking right in front of the church. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
What better place to do it?
Yep. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah, but this Saturday,
pasta salad,
Tim, you know, and you're going to be there, aren't you?
You better believe it, Fungo.
That sounds fantastic.
Where do you post up exactly, Fungo? Where do you post up at this soiree?
I usually try to hold up the one end of the bar. That's it.
Do you? You drink a lot?
No, I don't. I watch other people drink too much.
All right. That's better.
I pace myself.
That's good. Are you still officiating? You still in that racket?
Well, actually, I'm off for the summer from high school soccer and grade school basketball, but it'll start kicking up here again in September.
High school soccer, that's probably work. You got to do a lot of running for that, don't you?
I guess, well, I do a lot of hard running or a lot of fast walking. Let's put it that way. I call it selective positioning.
Now, are those games fixed as well?
Oh, wow.
What's that?
Are those games also fixed?
You have to determine that from the athletic directors, not me. I have no choice.
I've heard something about special wings. What does that mean? Mm. That was
special wings. I don't.
Well, supposedly people love this chicken wing sauce that I make, and we're going to be making about 400 pounds of chicken wings this year.
400 pounds of chicken wings, Doug.
Wow.
I mean, you want to talk about Miami and L.A. and St. Louis as far as body fat percentage. We are really trending up.
Wiggy wiggy. Oh, wait. There's no fat on these wings.
Right. No. They're the healthy wings.
These are the nice wings.
Yeah. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Listen, I do have something to say.
What's that?
And you'll be proud of this because it's in your neck of the woods.
Okay.
I was officiating out there at Lindbergh a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I guess it was.
Okay.
And it was a JV game. It was Lindbergh versus Melville.
What sport are we talking about?
High school soccer, girls.
Okay.
Come on, Doug.
And I was on the north field, and the varsity was playing on the other one.
Okay.
On the main field. Right before the game, they played the national anthem. Now, we were within an earshot, so obviously we weren't going to start the game until the anthem's done. But I'll tell you what I noticed. Besides the players in our field and the fans, there was a group of high school kids that were practicing football in a field, maybe within an earshot of the varsity stadium.
Stop saying earshot.
Okay. Well, they were all standing there at attention with their hands over their hearts.
How about that,
Doug?
That's nice. How about that?
You would expect that at Lindbergh.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
One of the best school districts in the city.
It absolutely is.
In the country.
In the world.
But I did write a report to the state complimenting them on what they did and how proud the parents and the administration should be on that. So
yeah. Nice. That's a well-run school district there.
Obviously it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's no St. Gabriel's.
As per Cal Kennedy, I made my phone call here, so I'll let you guys go. See you Saturday, Timmy.
That's right. St. Gabriel's School Picnic, Doug. I'll see you there, too.
Make sure to try the pasta salad.
Producer Joe's bringing
some. I won't come within earshot of that place.
And Fungo Special Wings. 400 pounds.
Of healthy wings.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Fungo. See you Saturday.
Yeah, we're cooking it in lard.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're the ones that
fatten up everybody.
Yep.
Especially the women.
You're not going to go, Doug?
I won't be within earshot of it.
Guys, I hope Fungo gets tossed out of the Tilt-A-Whirl and lands in the dunk tank full of bleach.
This is why people don't call in.
I mean, anybody.
Some stubby applause.
Guy sounds like a nice guy. He's helping out the church. He referees. He's making wings. And the listeners hate him.
Right. They want him to fall into bleach.
We could have the Pope call this show. Nice one, Popey. Now go drink some bleach and fall out of the Pope-mobile.
No one calls it the Mound City. Nobody.
No.
Thank you, Fungo. That was the absolute worst few minutes of radio ever played on the air. That's saying a lot considering I've listened to the line change before. That's from Timmy Recaps.
It was a fabulous call.
Rough, man.
Guys, is Fungo in need of a stepson? He sounds fantastic. That's from Fred Astaire. Our listeners are looking to adopt stepfathers.
They're trying to have somebody pay for the rest of their life.
God, that is impressive. Doug, this 8 o'clock hour was wonderful and was brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. JMH Law Firm, a great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, you think it's a good sponsor because it makes sense for the audience.
I do. A lot of our audience members have, at the very least, charges pending. They haven't all been convicted, but there are charges. Some of them are being held overnight, and some are out on their own recognizance with the ankle bracelets.
Well, if they need representation, then they need JMH Law Firm and Attorney Joe Harbath providing passionate and aggressive criminal representation at reasonable rates. Got a DUI after TMA Live. We got one tonight. And by that, I mean TMA Live, not the DUI.
No.
You better go to needalawyerstl.com. Got caught selling weed. The Plowboy. You better go to needalawyerstl.com. 314-827-6222. 314-827-6222 for JMH Law and Attorney Joe Harbath with offices in St. Charles and Webster Groves. He's a fan page member, and to me, that screams credibility.
Big time.
Joe Harbath.
attorney at law with offices in St. Charles and Webster Groves. Need a lawyer, STL.com, 314-827-6222. Need a lawyer, STL.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We have that Hot Shots email today, a free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots at 9:50, I would say, is when we'll get to it. Jim Edmonds is going to join us on the other side of the break. He's been on the call of the game in Cincinnati, the games in Cincinnati. That's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.